The Mesilat Yesharim says that while the great achievement of a person in this world, or maybe better yet, the way to get to great achievements of a great life, he calls it a perfect life. He calls it Shlemut Amiti, the perfect life, something that probably most people wouldn't dream of even saying, perfect anything, certainly not a perfect life. But yet the Mesilat Yesharim dares to say there's something called a Shlemut Amiti, a perfect life, not necessarily an easy life. In the American ear, perfect and easy come in the same breath. Easy means perfect, and perfect means easy. That is not what we're saying. A great life can be challenging. A great life can have all the potholes that everybody here is very familiar with. But yet it could be a perfect life. It could be a life where you're weaving this perfect, beautiful, beautiful jacket that's made of all different kinds of stitches and all different kinds of bumps. And it's something very, very beautiful. It's called Shlemut Amiti, the perfect life. I'm not going to go into that because we already went through it. But he says that this Shlemut Amiti has enemies. Hashem put us in a world where we have enemies, Rabim, he calls them, many, that their job is to keep us far away from this Shlemut Amiti. The words he uses are Rabim bo hamarhikim oto. We have many, many, many things in this world, some say the majority of things, that their job is to keep us marhik. Marhik means take you further and further and further and further away from this Shlemut Amiti, this perfection. Really, at the end of the day, it's a very simple life. It's we that maybe complicate it. I hate to oversimplify it, but it's really that simple. The Creator made us. We all know that. He created the world and runs it. And He gave us a manual how to live life. It's pretty, pretty simple. It's not complicated. I know it sounds too easy, but it really is that easy. The Creator made a world and gave us the booklet how to live it. That's it. It's not more complicated than that. But something so easy and simple, how could it be so hard? The answer is because we have Rabim Hamarhikim Oto. Because there are many things in this world that their job is to keep you going further and further and further away from that beautiful reality of life. I've seen, and I'm sure everybody here has witnessed, where people that we grew up with were a certain way when they were 7, and they were 9, and then they were 11, and things started to move the wrong way. And then they were 15, and they were 19. And as you kind of see that graph and the picture, they just kept going further and further away from the beautiful reality of a great life. It's something we witness daily. It's people all around us, maybe ourselves. How can a very simple formula get so complicated? Because we have a world where the escalator is going down and we start on top. We start life, actually, according to these words, we start life much more complete than we end up. We actually start in a good place. A little baby's born, he's right there. He's like right by the doorstep. A little maturity, a little knowledge, and he's there. But then, Rabim Marhikim, just things just keep pushing him further and further away from a great life and an accomplished life. So now says the Ramchal, what are these things? What are these things? So I think if I would ask this question right now to anybody here, I think we would have many different answers of what are the things in life that bring us further away from a great life. Very simple. Anger, definitely one. Jealousy, definitely another one. Just the wrong mindset, having the wrong ideas of things, making bad decisions. I mean, there are many things that we could sit here and say, well, it's this item, that item, another item. Definitely things that we have with conflict, with friendships, conflict in marriage, difficult children, on and on and on. What are these rabim marhikim? But amazingly, this is unbelievable. You have to wonder how a person like the Ramchal could make such a big statement with such confidence. He is able to identify all of our issues with one root cause. You got to be a very top doctor to do that. You know, a person, lo aleinu, is feeling pain here, there, they don't know what's going on, this issue, that issue. There are these machines that you put a person through and they're able to identify something very small in a very, very far off place and they say, oh, that's it. That's the diagnosis, right there. That item right in that spot is causing so many of these things to happen. A regular person can't see that with their eyes. Even doctors can't see that with their tools. There are machines that could see it. And there are certain things that even the machines can't see. You got to go to a bigger machine. Here, the great doctor, the Ramchal, says, I am going to locate for every person, no matter what issues you've had in life that has taken you away from this perfect shlemut amiti, whatever it is that you can point your finger at and say, well, that was it. It was my mother, my father, my friend, my this, my that. I had this issue, I had that issue. Comes the Ramchal, the great doctor, and says, it's all going to come down to one thing. What's this one thing? The one thing that it seems causes everything. Who could have even thought there's such a reality? Forget finding it. Who would have even dreamt that there's just one thing to look for? And if you just fix that, then you fix everything. Hard to believe. But the Ramchal actually says such a thing. And in case you doubt what he's saying, he repeats it twice. Look what he says. He says, Vehem, hem, the word hem means, and they are. And he repeats it twice. Vehem. And again, hem. So you don't make a mistake to think he's just shooting the breeze or just giving you some random idea. Vehem, hem. And they are. And they are. Hata'avot ha'homriyot. They are the physical desires that we all share in this physical world. Asher, he says, Im yimashech aharehen. If a person gets pulled after them, it means you don't have to run after them. No reason to run after them. They're running after you. You don't have to go to school to learn to have desire for things. And desires aren't bad either, by the way. But you don't need to learn about physical desires. They're coming after you, all kinds of physical desires. He says, "Im yimashech aharen." But if you get pulled by them, Which means if they lead you in life, physical desires aren't bad. They're actually one of the ways to live a great life. However, it's who leading who question. Who leads who? Are you leading your desires or are they leading you? Are you in control of them or they're in control of you? Sometimes it's not so easy to know that. Sometimes it's very easy to know. Sometimes it's quite obvious, both sides. And sometimes it's like close, I'm not really sure. I thought I'm in control, but I'm not sure. He says, "Im yimashech aharehen," if you become a slave to your desires, which we'll explain in a minute what that means. Hinehu mitrahek veholech min hatov ha'amiti. You are going further and further away from the true great life that you're here to live. Im yimashech aharehen. If you get pulled, again, you don't have to do anything bad. You don't have to do anything wrong, per se. You just allow yourself to get pulled. It's so nice to know this, by the way. Sometimes you look at different people who have made some mistakes in their lives and made some bad decisions. And the normal way of a person is to look at a failure of a person or a failure of a situation is to kind of look down at them. But here you see it's not like that. It's not that they were bad. It's not that they went out of their way to make bad choices and end up in bad places. It's just that they didn't realize that there were things taking them down. They didn't stand strong when the current of ta'avot, of desires, were pulling them. And they ended up in all these places. People say sometimes, what went wrong? Nothing went wrong. The machine is working the way it's supposed to. That's what it does. There's a machine that has ta'avot, desires running after the person. And if he's not going to stand up and make the right choices and how to defend himself and to be the balabayit, to be the owner of his life, then that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen in many, many ways, with many different situations, with many different people. Let's go back. So you're telling me, Mesilat Yesharim, you're telling me that any issue I have in life, any ending that I had in any situation, has to do with me being dragged by my physical desires. Hard to believe. What about all the other things? What does that mean? What about jealousy? What about anger? What about all the other things? Why is this the one? So before we go and discuss that, I'd like to bring a proof to the Ramchal from the Torah itself. You know, the Torah has a lot of chokhmah, a lot of wisdom. But even more than that, if you ever want to study a subject in its full depth, find the first place it's mentioned in the Torah, and there you're going to find a wealth of knowledge on that subject. Let's study the first time there was a mess up in this planet. The first time that someone went far from their complete beautiful life. The first one, of course, as you know, is the story of Adam and Hava. They were living in this unbelievable world that we can't even dream of having today. In a world where it was painless to have a child. It was painless to raise a child. People didn't have to go to work. There was no struggles financially. There was no need to go and struggle in buying a home or producing food or drink or anything of that nature. It was a world, there was no death. There was no sickness. It's a world, like I said, we can't even dream that it even exists. It would be to us like something beyond imagination. But that's what we had. And Adam and Hava, Hashem gave them one challenge. And as you read the story, every time you say, okay, maybe this time they're going to make the right choice. But they made the right choice the wrong time. Every time you read it, it doesn't change. It's an eternal choice that was made. A choice where they became rahok. They became far from this beautiful reality that they were in. And we are still experiencing the effects of that choice that they made. What was the challenge that God gave Adam and Hava? You know, Hashem has many ways to challenge a person. Everybody in this room sitting knows how many different challenges you have in your life. Hashem has many ways of sending you a challenge. What way would Hashem challenge Adam and Hava? This is the first challenge that the world ever saw. So what would it be? And he's going to write about it. He's going to tell us about it. Is he going to challenge them with anger? Is he going to challenge them with jealousy? Is he going to challenge them with pain? What is it? The most amazing story. Hashem chooses. You know, when we choose something, we're humans. We don't necessarily think it through. We just do things. You know, you can never, sometimes people do things and people start like analyzing, why did they do it? What were they thinking? What was going on in their mind? But usually most of the time, there's nothing to analyze. They weren't thinking. They just did it. They just did whatever came to their mind at that moment. We're not so deep. When we do things, we just do things. But when God does things, He has many, 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 many ideas and thoughts, and He went through all of them and figured out that this is the one that I need to do. So if Hashem sent Adam and Hava some challenge, it has to be that He thought about it, why this one, what the message would be, and how relevant it would be for all the readers that would read about this story. And the challenge is quite simple. He told them, Mikol etz hagan achol tochel. He told Adam, you can eat from all these fruits, all these pleasures that you have, they're there for you. Enjoy. But this one, do not eat from it. One tree only. And he told them, Ki beyom acholcha mimenu. The day you eat from it, mot tamut, you're going to bring death to the world. Don't eat from it. You know, you think it's an obvious choice. Even sometimes we buy insurance on the 1 in a million chance that something might go wrong. So we'll pay every year all kinds of money so that we are protected from just in case. The creator of the world just made you. And he didn't like tell you to fast. He didn't tell you don't eat for the next 7 days. He says, enjoy, tfadal. You have all this beautiful garden, this fruit, eat it. Just one tree off to the left, off to the right. Just don't eat that one. That's it. It seems like a very easy choice. And in fact, when you see the Nahash came, the snake came, to convince Hava, he was one of the enemies of mankind. He came to convince Hava, why don't you eat from this? What's going on? And you see Hava is very logical. She tells him, Ha'ish v'tomer ha'isha el ha'nahash, miperi etz ha'gan, nochel, we are allowed to eat from everything. She's giving herself and him strength. Don't worry, we're not suffering. We can eat from all these things. We're good. We have a lot to live for, a lot to enjoy. Umeperi ha'etz asher betoch hagan amar Elohim loto. Just that one, he says, don't eat from it. You're listening to Hava talking, very beautiful, logical, simple, what you would expect from any normal human being. Then the Nahash gives an argument why it's not really true. Lo motem, it's not really going to happen. He starts to put that in her mind. But it seems that that doesn't do it. You see, Hava was very convinced that she should not eat from it. The Nahash started to say, come on, you really think God's going to do that to you? Lo motem utun. You really think you're going to die? You're not going to die. What does that mean, death? What does that mean? You're here. You know, if you never saw death before, you never believe it. What does that mean? You're alive. You're created. Everything's eternal. God's eternal. You're a piece of God. What are you saying? Lo motem utun. Ah, you want to know why God doesn't want you to eat it? He gave a whole argument. He said, because God knows the day you eat from it, then you're going to be like Him. So He's afraid that you're going to be like Him. That's why He told you don't eat it. Okay, He put some thought on her mind. Did she believe it? Doesn't seem that way. But listen to the next pasuk. It says, Vatere ha'isha. This woman, after she hears the words of the Nahash, of the snake, how he's trying to appeal to her mind, to convince her that there's no reason not to eat from it. So what does she do? She starts to look. Vatere ha'isha, ki tov ha'etz lema'achal. She looks at it, she says, wow, you know, looks like a very good tasting item. And listen to these words. Here's the main words. V'chi ta'ava hu la'enayim. She had such a desire when she started to look at the fruit. She had such a desire for it. We all know what desires are. She really wanted it so badly. It looked so good. And she took from the fruit and she ate. Notice what happened. Hashem made it very simple for them. Very simple. Enjoy. Live life. Eat. Just don't eat this one. They say, okay, great, no problem. Easy, simple. Comes the Nahash and gives all this argument. They're not falling for it. Because it's ridiculous. I'm going to believe the Nahash, the snake over God. Come on, get out of here. But then all of a sudden, the desire for the fruit was so big, she really wanted to eat it. Now all of a sudden, she wanted to eat it. She couldn't control herself. Her and Adam ate from the fruit. And from there, the world completely changed to the world that we know about today. Anytime you're raising a child and you're struggling, you could thank Hava. Anytime you're having pain in pregnancy or in childbirth, Hava. Anytime there's death in the world, Adam and Hava. Anytime you go out to work and you're struggling with Parnasa, Adam and Hava. That was a major issue. But what did God choose? Forget the majorness of the issue now. What did God choose for Adam and Hava and choose to teach us in the first story of a person who had real shlemut, perfect life, and went far away from it? What was the item that Hashem used? Ta'ava. It was the desire for something physical. And that's what brought down Adam and Hava. The pasuk says, we say it in Shema, in the third part. Ve'lo taturu ahare levavchem ve'ahare aynechem. The Torah warns us that we should not follow without guidance. We should not just let our eyes lead us and our hearts lead us. Don't just follow your heart and your eyes. So our rabbis explained in Masechet Berachot, what does it mean that a person is following his heart. What exactly are you telling me? It says, don't follow your heart. What does that mean? What is the discussion here? Follow my heart where? My heart is always bad, it's always wrong. What does it mean? Don't follow your heart. Needs explanation. It's too general. The heart isn't a bad thing, it's a good thing. You're supposed to have a heart, you're supposed to have love. It says Hashem loves the heart. What does that mean? Don't follow your heart. So the Gemara says in Masechet Berachot, you know what it means, don't follow your heart? It means Zo Haminut. The word minut in Hebrew translates as heresy, as kefira, someone who has the opposite of emuna. If emuna is the item that brings you to a great life, which it is, the opposite of emuna is minut. So what does it mean, don't follow your heart? It means you shouldn't have a life that is the opposite of emuna. Empty of the Creator in your life, empty of strength of emunah, do not follow your heart. Don't live life without emunah. The great rabbi, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzadig Levracha, in Kovetz Ma'amarim, he writes, he has a very big question, a very simple question. He says, I understand that emunah is a big deal. I get it. Tzadik be'emunato yehyeh. To live a great life without emunah, impossible. Emunah solves all issues. Again, doesn't make life easy, but solves all issues. Without emunah, it's a very hard life. Very far from what's supposed to be. There are many levels of emunah and many places where you need emunah. You need emunah to deal with difficulties. You need emunah to deal with God Himself. You need emunah to deal with what's right and wrong, what you should do and you should not do in life. I mean, emunah is all over the place. So says the great rabbi, I understand that emunah is big and the opposite is a disaster. I get it. But why is that called don't follow your heart? Where do you find emunah? Where does the heretic come from? Where are his ideas developing? If he believes, if he doesn't believe, that's in the mind. If you would have a conversation with a kofer, he would be talking to you philosophy. He would be explaining to you why, no, what are you believing in? What does that mean? Whether it's who says there's a creator or who says that, does he really care about that? Does it matter to him what you eat? Does it matter to him where you go? Does it matter to him what you do on Shabbat? Come on, stop it already. What does he care? When you would have a conversation with a person who is a mean, that's what we call him, you would have a conversation that's talking from mind to mind. He's talking to you from all the different philosophies that there's no reason to have emunah. I'm sure we've all heard comments in our lives. It was a comment that came from the mind. So says the great rabbi, I don't understand. Why, if you want to tell me that I shouldn't be amin, which is the opposite of a ma'amin, if you want to tell me that, you tell me, don't follow your heart. What? Follow my heart? You mean don't follow your mind? Because your mind may give you the wrong ideas? Why would you say don't follow your heart? It's not the right place. You picked the wrong place of the body. That's a beautiful question that this great rabbi asked. And he uses this question to answer another big question. He says that we know at the age of bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, 12 and 13, we're already obligated in all the mitzvot. It's not like a gradual thing where you start with like 10, 20, 30, 40. It's not like that. When we're 13, 12, all mitzvot. One of the mitzvot is the mitzvah of emunah. Emunah means to live a life with clarity. There's a creator to this world. He runs the world. He gave us the Torah. He gave us the guidelines and the instruction of how to live a life. Simple. That's it. Says the great rabbi, I don't understand. There have been great people. The Rambam writes about Aristotle that he was a genius of a human being. His chokhmah was below prophecy. That's what Rambam says. He says, even a person like Aristotle with his genius mind and living for who knows how many years and thinking and working, and even he didn't get to emunah. So you want to tell me a 13-year-old boy, a 12-year-old girl is already obligated in emunah? How? It's impossible. Hashem, you gave us mitzvot that are impossible. Maybe an experienced person, maybe when they're 30, 40, 50, who knows? But a 13-year-old? Come on. How is that possible? So he says in his beautiful way that really emunah is very simple. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. There's a midrash. I'll read you the midrash to explain what he means. The midrash says that one time Amin, here's that guy again, Amin, that's the opposite of the ma'amin. Amin came to Rabbi Akiva. And he tells Rabbi Akiva, this world, mi bera'o, who created this world? So Rabbi Akiva told him, the creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made the world. So the mean tells him, har eni davar barur. He says, show me, don't tell me who created the world. Show me who created the world. I want clarity. He tells him, Amar le, lemahar tavo elai. He says, come tomorrow, and I'm going to show you. The next day, this mean came back to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva sees him. He tells him, Mata lovesh. He says, what are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What a nice suit you're wearing. What are you wearing? He told him, Beged, wearing a suit. Amarlo, says Rabbi Akiva, tell me, Mi asa'o, who made your suit? Amarlo ha'oreg, he told him, my tailor. Amarlo, says Rabbi Akiva to him, Eni ma'amincha, I don't believe you. Har eni davar barur, show me clear. Don't tell me a tailor made this. Don't tell me a tailor made this. Show me that a tailor made this. Amar lo mar elecha. What can I show you? Ve'en ata yodea sheha oreg asa. Why can't you see from the suit that someone made it? You understand the next line. Which means there are certain things in life, there's nothing more clear than what you see. You don't need to see clearer. If I see a paper with a paragraph written of ink, of words that make sense and flow of story, nobody has to convince me that somebody wrote it. It's obvious somebody wrote this. Because ink doesn't spill and create sentences and a beautiful story. It just doesn't work. It's very clear. Emunah is very clear. It's barur. You don't have to be so smart. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be Aristotle. By the way, it makes sense that you don't have to be a genius because not a lot of geniuses out there. How many of us are geniuses? If the Torah was given only to geniuses, then we understand that emunah needs to be for geniuses. We're all regular people. That means it has to be so simple. that even a 13-year-old boy, a 12-year-old girl, is already capable of knowing that this paragraph was written by somebody. That everybody's capable of. And this world is not, this complicated world. If you can't believe a paragraph was by accident spilled ink, you can believe that the world and its intricacy, the human body alone, one part of the human body alone, just study the eye itself. You need to bring more proof than what you see. So says the great rabbi. So if emunah is so obvious, so how come we see a lot of people that are amin? There are many levels of people who don't have emunah. How could it be? He says, because a lack of emunah doesn't come from the brain. Because the brain is very simple. It's like Hava. Hashem says, don't eat from the fruit. Okay, simple. Done. God spoke to you. It's simple. Your brain says, come on. But wait till your lev comes. When the heart comes with the desires, now there are things that you want. But wait, if I have emunah, emunah says you can't have that. But I really want that. I really want to live a certain life where I want to do whatever I want. I want to go wherever I want to go. I want to eat whatever I want to eat. I want to just live the way I want. I have a desire for things the way I like them. We all do. That's what makes us human. We have desires. But a person who is in control of his desires is able to have emunah and his desires. Because emunah doesn't say, don't enjoy the world. Hashem didn't say, don't enjoy life. The opposite. He says, enjoy. But there are rules. So if I am in control of my desires, my emunah and my desires don't collide. I'm able to enjoy the world beautifully and still have emunah and stay away from things that are not good for me. I can keep Shabbat perfectly and I love the Shabbat. Ah, there are things that I wanted to do on that Shabbat that I couldn't do. Okay, my emunah gives me the koach and the strength. I don't need to do it. And I still love Shabbat. I'm able to do things the right way and control myself from things that I want, and I still have a great life. But if the person is yimashech, if you are a person that is not running the show, you're just a hostage of your desires, you have no control basically. When you're hungry, you eat. When you're thirsty, you drink. When you need something, you just go and get it. Doesn't matter. If that's the kind of person you are, so you got a big problem. Because here you have emunah that tells you, oh, you shouldn't do that. But your body and your desires that you have no control of are telling you, but don't you want to do that? Don't you want to go there? So now what? What happens when emunah collides with the weak person who doesn't have control of their physical desires? Having physical desires isn't bad. It's actually normal and good. But who controls who? If you're not controlling, then you're being controlled. If you're being controlled, is it a collide with your emunah? Because your emunah is going to ask you certain things. And you can't do it. So now what? Comes the lev, comes the desires, and knocks on the door of the brain and says, listen, you know, you're very brilliant. You're very smart. Do me a favor. Could you figure out a reason why I should be able to do what my desires want me to do. Go figure something out. Like, depending on where you live, depending on the society, depending on your level of ability to think, if you're Aristotle, you'll come up with the most brilliant ideas of why there isn't a reason to have emunah. You'll have, if you're a little more simple, maybe you'll ask some questions. Oh, why does emunah really, how do you know it's really true? Well, I saw that person suffering and they're a good person. I saw that thing, that guy was going to do a mitzvah and look what happened to him and that. Whatever it is, let the mind go to work. And the mind will come back to you with a beautiful story why you don't need to have emunah. Again, what level? No emunah, depending on where you are. Some people have a little emunah, some have more and more and more. At some point, okay, atkan, that's it. I have emunah up till here. Don't ask me any more things because that's all I can handle. But I don't understand. You already keep Shabbat. So why are you not doing that? What's the answer? The answer is my emunah goes up atkan. My emunah cannot go further than my physical desires. If I desire something really, really a lot, I'm going to figure out how really God doesn't really care so much about that. He cares about that. That's why I'm very good in that. I have enough emunah for that item. But for the other one, I don't think he really cares that much. That's what I think my father once even told me that. That's the way it works. It's an unbelievable thing. So while you're talking with our brains and we're having this intellectual conversation about things, like this is really big, this is not so big, is this really important, not so important, do you really believe that, does this really matter, is this really true? So we're talking from brain to brain. But comes the Torah and says, but that's not where it's at. That's not where the issue is. Although that's what it looks like. Lo taturu ahare levavchem. You know why you're thinking this way? You took the most simple thing and you made it so complicated. Why? Because you're lev. Because you have desires that control you and you need to figure out how to make that work within your level of emunah. I once mentioned to you something amazing, that the first Russian that went to outer space was big news. This happened maybe 60, 70 years ago. Big news! Like a human went out of space. So what is that? And the leader of Russia, big country, a lot of smart people there. I mean, they left the planet Earth. They got to have some brains. And he gets up on national television and he's speaking not just to his country, he's speaking to the world. And he says in this speech of his, we have now proven with this mission that there is no God. You would think I made this up, but you could study history. So what is this man saying? What is he saying? So is he childish enough to think that God, first of all, is like him? Like he's going to meet him up there? Okay, so let's say he did think that. Okay, let's say he thought. Let's say he thought that God's like him. And when he left, he's going to see him. But you know what? Maybe he's on the other side. Maybe the place you left the planet is not where he... Maybe his tent is pitched on the other side of the world. Maybe he's a little bit further down, because maybe he's still only up here. There's like more to go. Maybe he's there. What kind of ridiculous comment is that from an intelligent person? You can't tell me he's not intelligent. He's running a country. He's an intelligent man. And he's not talking privately, somebody like, he prepared this. He has it written down. He's talking to the entire planet. We're still talking about it. Where'd that come from? That came from his mind? No, of course not. A little child could disprove that. It came from his lev, because that's what he wants. Communist Russia doesn't want that there should be emuna. And if that's what your heart wants, you're going to figure it out. And you'll twist your emuna to fit what you want. It's an unbelievable reality of life. Lo taturu ahare levavchem, says Rav Wasserman, alav shalom. He says, yes, a 13-year-old boy, a 12-year-old girl, yes, they can have emunah because it's simple. They just have to protect their hearts. They just have to protect their desires. They can't let themselves be a victim of their desires, their ta'avot. The Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, listen to this Gemara. Anybody who studied Tanakh can appreciate this, because you'll find in Tanakh, you'll find times in our history when the Jewish people, hard to believe, hard to imagine, for us for sure, impossible to imagine, that we'll find generations that were so deeply involved in idol worship. We can't understand it. How? The Jewish people in the land of Israel, idol worship, they're bowing down to idols. How did that happen? We're talking about people who witnessed God on Har Sinai. We're talking people who have the Torah. What are they doing? Comes the Gemara and answers all questions. Says the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, Amar Rav, Yod'in Hayu Yisrael, the Jewish people like today and then knew very well Ba'avodah Zarah, idol worship. Bowing to a rock, bowing to the sun. She'en ba mamash. They knew it was nothing. They knew it. They knew it was nothing, so why would they do it? Ve'lo avdu avodah zarah. They only did this kind of worship. Lehatir lahem arayot befarhesia. Which means they had a desire to live a life of immorality. Well, if you live with emunah, there are morals. You know, there are certain things you can't do. Even certain things in your own house you can't do. I mean, you have morality. Well, morality, if I want to live a life of immorality, but I have emunah, so what am I supposed to do? It's a big problem. So avodah zarah became the solution. Today, we would maybe dismiss it with a comment, ah, come on. But in those days, that wasn't enough. The come on is not going to work. You have to come up with like a real deep understanding. Oh yeah, there's a spiritual. It's not that. This is really where the spirituality comes from. This is really where your berachah is going to come from. This is, you build the avodah zarah, and now the avodah zarah allows you to go and live your life of immorality. So whenever you read Tanakh and you see, whoa, what are they doing, these people? You know, there's a famous Avodah Zarah, it's called Baal Peor. Very hard to understand, but with today's class, it's very easy to understand. Baal Peor is one of the famous Avodah Zarah that the Jewish people in the desert, not in Israel, not hundreds of years after Yetziat Mitzrayim, the people who left Egypt, they witnessed the miracles of Egypt, they crossed the Yam Suf, they were there at Har Sinai. Those people in the desert, they fell to the service of Avodah Zarah called Baal Peor. How do you serve this Avodah Zarah? You'll excuse me. Hazal tell us the way you serve this Avodah Zarah is that instead of going to the bathroom, you go on the idol. That's the service. That's how you serve it. Now anyone hears that says, what? What kind of thing is that? It's ridiculous. Who would do that, even if you got something wrong? But like, come on, think of a better idea how to serve your God. What's the idea? That is very simple. The idea is that the people of Baal Peor wanted to live life with no rules. Zero rules. We want to do whatever we want. We don't want anyone who tells us we have boundaries. We want to live without boundaries. Don't tell me what to eat. Don't tell me what to say. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me who to marry. Don't tell me what. I don't care. I want to live a life where I don't care. So what was their avodah zarah? You know how much we don't care? Watch this. This is how we serve our idol. That nothing matters. Nothing. There's no aib. There's no disgusting. Nothing. It's all good. It's part of our service. Part of our lifestyles that we don't care. That's what we do. You see that sometimes in people. Maybe they don't have today Baal Peor. They have other ways. Some people, they grow their hair messy. What are they trying to say? It takes them like 3 hours to get it messy the way they like. But they're trying to say that, I don't care. I don't care how I look. Look. Different ways of dressing, ripped things. It's a whole ideology of, it doesn't matter. Come on. It doesn't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter. Stop it already. I don't care. I don't care about you. I don't care how you look at me. Whatever I don't care means for that person. What an unbelievable Gemara. Idol worship. Oh no, that's not from the mind. I mean, it looks like it's from the mind. They're writing books about the idol worship. They're giving speeches about the idol worship. They're having schools with idol worship. I mean, it looks like it's from the mind. Comes the Gemara and says, no, it's from the lev, the heart. Lo taturu ahare levavchem. That's minut. I'll just end off by giving you an example of this in Tanakh. Famous story of Lot. Lot was glued to Abraham Avinu. He understood the value of being with such a great man. He even left with him. Lech Lecha. Lot joined him. And at some point there was a scuffle, there was a disagreement with the shepherds of Abraham and Lot. And he told them, listen, Lot, we're not going to be able to make it together. We're too big for each other. You choose the way, I'll go the other way. Very famous story. And the Pasuk says that he gave Lot, he gave him the choice. You go ahead, you choose whatever is good for you, and I'll do the other. The Pasuk says, how is Lot going to make this decision? Should he go right? Should he go left? Where should he go? So the Pasuk says, Vayisa Lot et einav. Lot, he raised his eyes. Vayar et kol kikara yarden. He saw the Jordan, the area of the Jordan. Kikula mashke. It was a very fertile area. It was the area of Sedom and Amorah. Today it's desolate. It's gone. There's nothing there. Nothing can grow there. But before that, it was a very rich area, fertile ground. And he needed such a place for his business. He had a lot of cattle. So the Pasuk says, Vayivhar lo, Lot. That's why he chose it. He saw a beautiful place for his business. It was a good business decision. And he chose the area of Sedom to relocate. That's what the Pasuk says. Come Hachamim and say, don't be fooled. What? Yeah, don't be fooled by the Pasuk. That's not why he chose Sedom. He chose Sedom because he was attracted by immorality, which was the lifestyle of Sedom. That's why he went to Sedom. Comes the great Rabbi of Yaakov Kamenetsky, Allah Hashem, and says, I understand. The Torah gave the reason. We can argue with the Torah. The Torah says he chose it because he thought it was good for business. You come and say, no, it's not because of that. Because of immorality, you're arguing with the Pasuk, you're arguing with the Torah. So he says, no. The Torah is giving you what Lot thought up here in his mind. And the Hachamim are telling you why he thought that. If you ask Lot, what are you doing? Why are you going there? Sedom? Come on, Lot. You're going to Sedom? He would tell you, it's a business decision. What do you mean? It's business. Business is business. That's how it works. I made a business choice. Hachamim come say, yeah, that's what you think. But subconsciously, your heart is leading you there because you want something that they have that's not good for you, and you can't get it here, but you want it. Your lev is driving your business decision. You think it's business. You think it's philosophy. You think, no, I don't believe. You think, nah, come on. That's what you think. But in reality, it's your lev, it's your desires that are in control of you that make your mind figure out a way to answer up why you're not doing something that you should be doing, or why you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. That's the way humanity struggles every day. The great Ramchal, what a beautiful, unbelievable piece of information. The diagnosis is so beautiful. He says, you want to know where you go off in life? You know where it starts? It starts with a person who is hostage to their desires. They just can't control themselves. When they make decisions in life, it's always following their desires. It's always following their heart. They don't have the power to say no. The world is a beautiful place, but if we don't have control of what our heart wants, we're going to be in trouble, not only in the heart, but even in the mind, and end up in the wrong places. We could write books on things that were all made up just to protect the lev and the heart. We should always be careful to find that strength. You know, when you raise a child, one of the most important parts of raising a great child is how to make decisions. Usually in this world, when people decide things, their decision making is, well, what's good for me? What do I like? That is not a way to make decisions in life. I mean, if it's about a food, if it's pasta or pizza, that's okay. But important decisions in life cannot be made on what do I like? Because what you like may not be good for you. Decision making in life has to be what's the right thing to do. It's a very different way of living life. What is the right thing to do? That's how I live my life. Not what I like. When we choose to live life that way, it becomes a very dangerous life. And that's where we start going off and off and off. Hem ata'avot. The key to greatness in this world is to be fully in charge of our heart's desires. Have a wonderful day.